throughout all of history, they've only talked about the fame, never the hard work, never the elbow grease, never the early call time.
All right. So, everyone, welcome to another episode of Early Call Time with Nadav, Andrew, JJ, and also our guest,
Eric Brown.
Eric Brown.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, welcome. Eric.
Eric, could you tell us what you do for a living?
I edit on a show called Family Guy.
I've heard of it. I've heard of it.
You might have heard of it. Yeah.
It's a cartoon, right?
Yes. There's a talking baby and a dog. Mm. Right. That's about it.
Right. Oh, nice. Right.
How long have you worked on the show?
God, it's 9 years now.
Oh, wow.
I started...
How long has the show been running for?
It's confusing. Well, I think we're in our 12th... Well, to me, it's the...
They're not consecutive.
We just finished
seasons,
the 11th season, but I think to the public it's been the 12 seasons. You know, it's one of those weird things.
I'm
never really sure what season
the
we're supposed to call it.
Type thing.
Yeah.
What got canceled.
Well, yeah, it got canceled originally. And then.
Yeah, I didn't start until. I started in season four. It got canceled. It was on for three seasons, and then it got canceled, and then.
They got you, and they're like, we should bring it back.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, we got Eric Brown now. Bring it. Green light it back up.
No, I mean, the story, you know, it did really well. When people used to buy DVDs, which apparently they don't anymore, but.
Right.
It, you know, it came out on DVD, and apparently, like, they were just, they started running it on TBS, I think, in syndication, and basically just in exchange for running ads for DVDs, at least this is what I've heard. I have no idea. This is exactly what's true or what's not. But, and then the DVDs went through the roof, like, became the best-selling, I think at the time, the best-selling ever.
Yeah, I remember I was the demographic that bought those DVDs.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
You're welcome. In high school, me and all my friends, we would just watch a whole bunch of Family Guy and drink beer and other stuff.
And all that stuff.
Well, I just realized this now, but no other shows could do that now because it's animated.
Right.
They could bring the characters back whenever they wanted.
Well, Futurama did it, too. I mean, it didn't last. I think it's gone again already.
Right.
Yeah. But they did the same thing. I don't know if that was because of the DVDs or they just said it worked with Family Guy. So I don't know.
I don't know. I'm sure. Well, it was a Fox thing, too. So
the thing I love about Family Guy is they're so fun to rewatch episodes. Like, I never get tired of going back and watching old Family Guy.
That's good to hear.
Sounds like I'll be here.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of, you know, it's kind of timeless that you can bring it back because people don't age. And yeah,
right,
I mean,
right.
The kids should be like 40 or something at this point. I don't even know.
They should be out of college by now.
Yeah.
So how did you get involved in Family Guy?
Right place, right time. A producer I'd worked with before. We had worked on a show years ago, and she had worked, I think on the third season of Family Guy as like somebody's assistant or something. And then I think when it went away, she was Seth MacFarlane's assistant. Anyway, when it came back, she became the associate producer. And at the time, I was like, oh, do you need an assistant editor? You
know? Yeah.
And so eventually, after many months, I got the job. You know, I mean,
right
place, right time.
Yeah, very much so.
And and it's been 9 years. And so, they eventually made me an editor, and then...
How long did you have to cut on the, or be an assistant to?
It's back and forth for a while. You know, they would like give me an episode here and there and whatever. And then finally it was like, we realized like the both of us were, I was like, I'm pretty much editing every day.
Yeah.
And they like, it was a lot of back and forth. And then pretty much then they were like, yeah, you're right.
Yeah. That's good. Yeah. And you work on Avid.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So that's crazy. So, yeah. We've worked in live action shows, but I know that I've never worked in an animation. I don't know if JJ's ever worked in animation.
No,
I'm sure
dabbled a little, but nothing crazy.
What is the workflow? Did you work in animation before you worked in Family Guy?
No, I had no idea.
So
I said, I came as a singer. I had no idea. I didn't even know. I was, you know, it's almost like, what do they do?
Because the workflow on, say, a movie or a TV show would be, they film all day, drop off the footage with the editors edit it.
Right.
And then, so how is that different on an animation show?
Well, ours is, you know, we're still like one of the, like, we're actually traditionally animated. I mean, it's hand drawn in that it's hand drawn on a computer. It's not drawn on paper anymore. But
right. Did it start on paper?
Actually, Family Guy was never cell animated. I think The Simpsons was for quite a while. But yeah, nothing's cell animated anymore. It's too labor intensive, and why would you do it?
Right, right.
Except that get cool animation cells.
Sure, it's all about that money.
So it takes. It can take like almost a year from the time you table read the script till the show airs.
Oh wow!
So they'll like the table read it. Well, they'll write it. They'll table read it, you know, and then after the table read, they'll go through a big rewrite because they'll kind of, like, the whole crew goes in the conference room, they read it, and, you know, they'll have guests there or whatever, and if they have, you know, some of the actors will be there, some won't, depending on their schedule, all that kind of stuff. And then, depending on, you know, how it went, they rewrite it. Then they'll start to draw it, they'll start to storyboard it, and then they cut together. It's called animatics. So there's, like, three editors just doing animatics.
Okay.
So they cut together. It's, you know, they'll record the voices, you know, cut together an audio track, and they put together an animatic, which is just sort of the key poses. It's like a black and white drawing. So
just like the elbow.
This is not going to work on a podcast at all. But you know, it'll have the pose here and the pose here, but nothing in between.
He's motioning with his arm up and his arm down. Yeah.
The right. Key poses, as they say.
Imagine if a second is like 30 pictures a second. You're maybe seeing two frames a second.
Yeah, it all depends on how much action is going on.
It's an episode of South Park.
Yeah, even less than that.
Choppy.
And then they'll cut that together, and then they'll screen that, and then there'll be another rewrite, which then they'll implement the rewrites, and then it'll go back to animatics. They'll implement those, and then it will goes over to Korea for 4 or 5 months to be animated.
Oh wow!
Wow.
Okay,
that's interesting.
So where in the process do the editors come in?
Well, there's animatics editors at that stage.
Okay.
But then it comes back, and then I put it together. That it's like all each individual shot.
So you have like mediums, you have close ups, like
normal. There's not like you can't be like cut to the wide shot. No.
Yeah. Because that costs like an extra $20,000 to give you that wide.
But it's just, you know, putting together the animated version. And sometimes things come back funny, like they don't always animate right, so you have to massage it a little bit. So then we'll screen that. There'll be yet another rewrite, because sometimes a joke that was funny 6 months ago is not funny anymore, or something that seemed funny, then you animate it, and it's like, that didn't work, or whatever.
Like punchlines and stuff.
Yeah,
like,
or something will be dated or whatever.
Sure.
So then there'll be a rewrite at that stage, and then I'll get that rewrite, and there'll be new scenes. And so I'll cut new little animatics for the new scenes and put together that version.
You're doing animatics also.
Yeah, short, smaller ones, like just for the new stuff that they'll add.
Okay.
And then, let's see, where I always get like lost in this process because it's so long. This is all taking place over the course of like a year.
And you have to keep very good notes, I'd imagine, because you have to go back on notes that you wrote 8 months ago.
Well, because I'm not really involved until it comes back.
Okay.
So like, I'm not really involved until the show's been going for 6 months or whatever.
You just get briefed and it's like...
Yeah, I mean, I might go to the table read, or I might see the animatic screening or something like that, but by the time it comes back, I've forgotten about it, so...
just to interject this quick question, a table read, is it just Seth talking a lot?
There's a lot of Seth, you know, he jumps between the, you know,
throwing his voice all over the room and...
Well, yeah, I mean, it's weird to watch him jump between the characters. I mean, a lot of times now it's on the phone because he's always off shooting a movie somewhere. But right. But they'll just pump them into speakers into the conference room.
You know those LA guys. Those
But so then we'll do that, and then it's a lot of kind of like I said, sending shots back that didn't quite. Oh, we need to fix this, change that. You know, something as stupid as that guy's hair is the wrong color, or like, you know, this isn't working. Rework a little bit. So then I do all that stage, and then it goes on to another editor who locks down the final picture.
Oh, okay.
Now, in most post departments in television, it's like three editors, three assistants.
Yeah. Well, it's a total.
How many editors and how many assistants do you have on your show?
There's a total of, well, if you count the three animatics editors, there's five of us. Well, like I said, it's like they're, you know, they're at a totally different stage. So it's very different. It's very different than live action.
Oh, no. I mean, that's very true, yeah.
Is an assistant editor on that show have the same type of responsibilities as an assistant editor somewhere else? Like, are they doing syncing? Are they
Yeah, I mean, like I said, that's what I started doing. Then my job sort of evolved into an editor because of the way the process was. So it's you know, it's yeah, it's a lot harder. Everyone, I always get asked this question. It's just, it's a lot harder to describe. It's a lot of like, instead of like, I mean, of course you have to lock it to time and you tighten it up and blah, blah, blah. But it's a lot more of like what's going on between the cuts than cut to cut. For instance, like, you know, say you're in a shot and you're like, oh, I want Peter to turn quicker, mm-hmm. deliver his line sooner, you know, so you'll winter out Peter, make him turn quicker and bring his line up, and rather than, you know, cut to the next shot. Is there that makes any sense?
Right.
Yeah, no, yeah. No.
Is there ever like a situation where it's like, oh no, we can't like finesse this enough. Like we need to send this back to where do you guys get
Korea? Yeah.
Like, is there ever like a nightmare situation where it's like we have to
send? Oh, we send stuff back all the time. It's called, I mean, it's called retakes. This whole process is called retakes. So yeah, there's yeah. I mean, a lot of stuff gets. I mean, pretty almost every shot gets sent back in every episode at least once.
Uh huh.
For you know, wow. Like I said, it could be something really simple to something really complex to, you know. But and some will go to, you know, take four, take five. You know, it'll go back several times.
Right.
So is it
right.
The director that's looking at those and saying, I want them to turn quicker, I want this or that?
Well, yeah, the director will, he'll do like, he's mainly involved at like the storyboarding stage and the anime stage. And then he'll come in and he'll do a pass on the color. And then it kind of gets turned over to the retake directors and the supervising director.
Okay.
So... You know how TV yeah. is. Like, yeah. even in live action, the director shoots it, he'll come into the edit bay
yeah.
for a couple of days, and then he's right. pretty much gone.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Right.
Yep.
You know? Producers that's just totally different than, yeah, producers run the show
yep.
in TV. So it's sort of the same way.
What's the quickest turnaround time? Because I know you were saying, like, sometimes if a joke doesn't work anymore, and sometimes I've been watching the show, and I'm thinking, like, that joke is very timely. Like, it's current. So I'm wondering how well,
occasionally
quickly...
yeah, if you see occasionally we'll do one scene really quick, like that would be like a rewrite in color, like I was talking about. If you yeah. see something timely mm-hmm. it means we I did see. It last minute, and it's usually something animated very simply because mm-hmm. we yeah. you know
just someone oh, standing in a
yeah,
room
yeah
wow.
if it's
wow.
really timely, then it's usually very simple because we're like, how can we pull this right. off quick?
So how quickly sure. can they turn that around, like, you know, if something happens?
I'm trying to think,
like
the quickest thing I can ever remember doing, and I don't know how we got away with this. You remember when I'm blanking on his name. What's Christian Bale?
Mm-hmm.
When that
oh
thing,
yeah
when he was on the Terminator set
and the tape was turning.
Yeah, yeah. If you that. Notice that, like, that's never aired again. We because we used his real
yeah.
audio,
it
and
hilarious.
I was like, at the time I was like, how are we allowed to do this? But they yeah we I think,
how are you allowed to do
I don't know. It was something there was they talked to the legal department was something where, like, as long as it only airs once, we can do it. So, like, you won't see that. In reruns, there's, like, a different scene in there. And
on oh,
the,
it's
but not, isn't it on the, like, on Hulu or on the DVD? Because I've seen it multiple
I think it's,
times.
Really?
I've
well,
seen it
I'm
more
sure
than
people
once.
Put it on
yeah,
YouTube.
Yeah, I'm sure it's on YouTube now.
Yeah, maybe that's where I saw it.
I don't think they put it on the DVD. I still don't understand how
it's
we
like,
were allowed
just
to
keep
do
on doing it until you get the cease and desist.
I don't know. I have no idea. I don't know how.
Well, the show pushes the envelope with some stuff, but... From a legal standpoint, I'm sure it's different than just, you know, making dick jokes.
Something right. like, it's like if you report it, you could play it on the news, you know, as long as you did it once or something.
Yeah, fair
huh.
use. It's
yeah,
like you're pretty
it's
much
like,
reporting on Christian Bale
yeah,
at that
I don't,
point, right?
I think that tape recorder was something we recycled from that episode and just slapped it in there. I don't know.
I was going to say, it's very simple
yeah,
looking,
yeah.
but funny.
Yeah. But, I'm baffled by that
You
one.
Know, actually, this is the first episode that we actually have user submitted questions.
Really?
Yeah. You're that popular.
User submitted.
Yeah.
But how are their users?
Well,
pretty much our friends
with Twitter,
that we told them.
With okay. Twitter and
right,
stuff.
Right, right, right. I mean Twitter.
Yes, Twitter.
Our millions of fans.
Last week we put out a thing saying that we're having editor Eric Brown on the show from Family Guy, and you know, right. give
I think,
us.
I think
us
Meg stuff. Started following us.
Oh yeah.
Meg Griffin started following us.
Interesting.
Once
she's
once
got nothing else
that.
To do though,
yeah.
so. Sad.
So let's see.
Yeah, we got some user submitted questions. Here
well,
we go.
Christy from Indiana. You know Christy.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. She asks, how many writers does it take to come up with the show? Because you know, because she's like, it's like crazy on how many jokes you guys have.
There's a lot of you know, like, it fluctuates season to season. I'm trying to count in my head how many there are right now. I don't even know.
Is it ballpark? Is it?
It's like in the...
more or less than 20.
It's around 20.
Wow.
Nailed it.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's a lot of writers.
I'm not exactly sure where it's at. Like I said, it kind of goes
like
up and down.
Ballpark.
Yeah, yeah.
Sure. Well, I mean, normal writers' rooms maybe have
12, maybe.
Yeah, yeah. Most.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I imagine it would work like kind of like an SNL type deal where it's like you write X amount of jokes per day and hopefully a certain percentage of your jokes make the cut. Is it, I mean,
I don't go in the writer's room. I don't know what goes on in there. Like, yeah, we kind of stay out of there because, yeah.
That seems like a common thread with editors and writers.
Yeah.
They may be in the same office together, but you don't really hang out.
No, they're nice guys, but it's just like I don't ever have any reason to go in there.
Right. And no, I'm the same way. I'm like, I know you. It's good to see you.
Yeah.
We have another. This is a little longer. This one.
Don't ask the stupid one.
No, I'm not
asking. Right. I don't know what the stupid one was.
I'll let you know later.
All right, cool.
Alan Nesson, who is a friend of mine from Indiana as well, he said, "What kinds of stuff is cut out due to time constraints? Also, how much is cut out due to FCC and standard practice?"
Well, you know, that varies. You know, a lot of times when something is cut, or sometimes when something is cut due to time, like, you know, how we do the cutaways, they'll be like, the time when I blah blah blah, and then cut away.
Yeah.
Sometimes if we have to cut, we'll cut it for time, but then we can use it in another episode.
It seems like those could kind of just go where you need
them. So sometimes, we'll do that, and it'll float around and eventually end up in an episode later. You know, sometimes stuff's cut because it's just not funny.
Right, sure. And that should be the only reason, you know?
And then, there is sometimes, I mean, there's always a lot of back and forth with standards. Sometimes, you know, they can change something just enough to, you know, like, oh, you can have him pee as long as it's blue and not yellow or something like that, you know? And you're like,
it doesn't make sense. Yeah.
So there are some jokes where they just can't, with standards, they just can't come to agreement and they just end up cutting it. But
how do you guys solve that problem? Is it like, did those decisions ever push back an episode like, well, can't release this anytime soon now?
No, because like I said, where it's the whole process, there's a lot of lead time, there's a year thing. So a lot of time, if it's a standards problem, they already know it is, like at the animatic phase, so they're already
right because they're like putting like scripts and stuff.
Yeah, so they're already going back and forth with the network about it, you know, like the whole time. So, I mean, you know, sometimes something gets cut in the last I mean, because there's like a school shooting every week now.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
So right. It's happened like a couple times where we didn't do a school shooting, but if there's just like a gun in the episode, and at the last minute they won't run the episode. And then they'll keep it and they'll just run it a couple months later.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, weird, and it's just like,
Too touchy. Like, right. Something happened.
You know,
like this
Stewie happens to have his hand on a gun in the episode, it's a kid with a gun, and there's a school shooting on Friday, they'll just run a rerun.
Wow.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That is, wow. I you don't think about that stuff.
Yeah.
Like, do you think that would happen with like a normal live action show?
I'm
like,
sure it does.
Does it?
Yeah. I feel like it should happen less with animation, just because like
it's so much more. It's cartoons.
It's not just like, oh yeah, we'll just reshoot this Monday.
I'm trying to think. I feel like something.
Have one where they like it was a big thing where they had to they didn't run an episode or they did like I remember reading something
somebody,
about
the Muhammad one.
Somebody
like on the internet took one of the episodes and like after the Boston Marathon thing.
Oh, that's right.
Edited it with.
And Seth was really mad about that.
Yeah. Right? And it, you know, it made it kind of look like we did it or something. We had nothing to do with it.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Oh,
jeez.
Well, people just see something on YouTube and they're like, look what Family Guy did.
Right.
It's like, there's all kinds of Family Guy like fan stuff on YouTube. You know, it's like.
Oh, okay. So I actually wanted to ask you about this. So Comic-Con is going on right now.
Yes.
And I think I remember seeing something released. I don't know if it was made by fans or made by you guys, but like a crossover universe of Simpsons and Family Guy.
Yeah, we're actually the premiere episode this fall is a crossover with the Simpsons.
Oh, that's awesome.
Oh,
I can say that now because they ran a reel at Comic-Con yesterday.
Yeah. Okay, so that is what I saw.
That's
really
cool.
I think you can watch it. I think it's at the... It's like at the Entertainment Weekly website, I think.
Mm-hmm.
There's like a 5-minute. It's basically the reel they played at Comic-Con.
Wow!
So how long that's been? How long have you known about that for?
Oh god, like a year.
Yeah. Well, it makes sense.
Yeah. So that's gonna be pretty cool. That's been cool.
What could you give us any type of scoop on it? Is there?
Let's see. What is in the Comic-Con reel that I can say? Right. Well, I mean...
Is Homer going to be in it?
Yes.
Homer's been on it before, though.
Has he really?
He's, I think he's, yeah, he's shown up once, in the background. It'll hurt, say, like, one line or,
yeah.
But, yeah, no, it's going to be cool. It's, like I said, go to the Entertainment Weekly website and watch it.
Entertainmentweekly.com.
I think. I don't even know. Some Entertainment Weekly website.
/ Simpsons / Family Guy.
About the wrong end.
Yeah. Yahoo.com/videos.
I have one more question from Alan, actually. What bit from the show got the got you guys in the most trouble that you can remember?
I'm not always privy to all this stuff.
Yeah. Oh, no.
So I don't know. Oh, you mean like the most trouble with who?
Well, I don't, the anyone? Public or the network, like, I'm sure there's some things that the network are like, I don't know.
I mean, we don't, it's not, don't ever like slip anything in there that, you know, make that, that yeah. just runs yeah. the tape and it's like, sure. what? We didn't know that was in there. You know, they know everything that's in there.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm trying to think what I remember the whole, we did the one where Chris was dating a girl with Down syndrome. And Sarah Palin got all up in arms about that, but we actually had an actress with Down syndrome play the girl with Down syndrome.
Okay,
and she, when Sarah Palin went all crazy, like that actress, you know, kind of, I can't remember what she said, but like, fired back at her. And
right.
I wish the story is not sounding very good because I can't remember any of it.
Oh no, but that, that's pretty cool though.
Yeah. I mean, Sarah Palin got her comeuppance. That's a great story.
That got a lot of press, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, it's been 9 years. It's all a blur. Like, I can't
remember. Yeah, sure.
Where were you on the whole? Did you have an opinion with the whole killing off of Brian for a period of time? Because I know.
I was just surprised that everybody thought that we were serious. Like, I was surprised at the reaction.
When he came back,
he came back 2 or 3 episodes later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People were really fired up about
pissed. I was, you know, it's kind of like, when you've been on for so long, it's just like puttering along, and it's like, oh, I guess people still give a shit. You know, I was surprised at the reaction.
So it felt good that people were upset.
Yeah, it's actually, like, oh,
they're still paying attention.
Yeah, and but I just assumed that no one would take it seriously.
Okay, so here's a question. So you are now, they fired all of the writers, and they're like, Eric, get in here. You, we've never asked you to do this before, but. Here's like a pack of computer paper and a MacBook Pro. Could you just write something up for us? What would an episode of Family Guy that you wrote look like?
You know, I'm too, like, I can't even say because I'm too, like, I'm so, I watch it all day, 5 days a week. Like, sure. I'm too close to it. Like, I can't even.
Who dies first?
Like,
Meg, obviously.
Do you make Brian and Lois finally get it on?
Or? No, I don't think I would kill anybody. You know, I don't know. It's not like, it's so funny because it's not like a show that's got like, it's not like Lost or something where there's like this building plot line and what's going to be the big reveal or whatever. It's like, you can, like I said, it could go like The Simpsons has been running for 25 years. Cause you can just pretend that, oh, you know, Chris is in the 10th grade again or whatever. Yeah. You know. So I don't know. I don't have a good answer for that one. I'm too like, I can't step back from it enough and look
at
it. Subject. Yeah. Yeah.
Do you have a favorite character? Or
my favorite is when they really treat Brian like a dog and when they really treat Stewie like a baby. Like jokes like that where like joke, you know, like just the stupid jokes. Like there's one like years ago where Brian, they're driving in the car and Brian can't stand up and he's falling all down and they're like, what's wrong with you? And he's like, I'm a dog. I have trouble standing up in the car. Like those are my favorite jokes. You know, when you treat them like what they really are.
Right. Instead of a talking dog and a talking baby.
I was watching one yesterday and it's where Peter went out and bought like 200,000 lottery tickets and Brian's like, you bought all these lottery tickets? You idiot. And he's like, well, you would be happy if the lottery tickets were for like 150 bags of the neighbor's trash. And Brian's like, well, I know. Wait, is it? And
like, yeah. Those are my favorite jokes.
Yeah, I remember there was a scene where I think someone's like analyzing Family Guy or just like a classroom, and someone's like, "So could they hear the baby?"
Oh yeah. I remember even watching it for the first time. I was there. You don't know right away. I mean, if you've watched 5 episodes, you kind of get it. Like,
I get confused still.
They're selective.
Yeah, it seems to still be.
They're kind of selective on like what they say, and which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
There was something I was going to ask you since the shows are like from beginning to end about a year. So you're working on multiple episodes at a time then, right?
Yeah.
You're not just working on one.
We're working on probably, God, I don't even know right now. In post right now, we probably have about 8 or 9 episodes.
Wow.
In some various states of
completion,
you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because, I mean, there's a lot of shows that are visual effect heavy that,
right.
like, what's the NBC show? Sleepy Hollow, where, you
CW?
Know,
they,
is it Sleep?
It's not NBC.
Yeah, I thought it was NBC. Well, either way, it's a visual effect heavy show, and it's like they'll get 7 or 8 episodes, but they don't lock anything.
Right.
Like, you guys, I would think you guys would lock stuff.
Well, we have,
sooner,
you know,
right?
like I said, they're in various states. Like, I'll have one that just came in, and then I'll have one that's just got the rewrite on,
mm-hmm.
one that's doing the new animatic scenes, you know.
Right.
And then, you know. And then the next one is off to the next guy, you know,
sure,
like, or like
sure.
it's, and you know, sometimes they go back and forth.
Right. Right. Well,
so,
and you get to, well, the great part about that is you're employed year mm-hmm. round. Right.
Yeah. I mean, it's weird. Yeah. I never have a hiatus.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Which is weird.
Are you proud of that or do you hate that?
No, I mean, it's great. You know, I mean, I can't complain. It's great. But, you know, sometimes yeah. you go like, well, because some people there, like directors and artists will have like a short hiatus, like between seasons or something.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just kind of go like, sometimes you're like, ah, oh, that'd be a nice break.
Yeah. Well,
someone asks you like, what do you do
yeah.
over summer? Like,
yeah.
No, you son of a
Or they go, yeah, people go, oh, so when's your hiatus? I'm like, I've been here 9 years. You know, I never get one.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I've never left.
Can you like say, oh, I went 2 weeks off?
Oh yeah,
I
mean, you can take vacations. Yeah, yeah, yeah. yeah.
With it being like year round, is it very corporate in that aspect?
I mean,
or is it?
It's probably slightly more corporate than most TV shows, but it's.
Yeah.
I mean, it's. You know, it's an animated TV show.
Sure, sure. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's a little bit more like you can say, okay, I'm going to request vacation time and take a vacation, which like
right.
when you work on a live action show. Isn't it usually you just have to like
you have to wait until
wait till
hiatus,
hiatus. Yeah, yeah
yeah and then they're like why are you asking for a month off you know
yeah.
I'm getting married you know or
yeah,
whatever
yeah
and they're like can you yeah. push that back
yeah yeah it's funny how some people you know they if you're in a show that goes 5 seasons you can actually say oh well I'm not going to work for 3 months
yeah.
and you plan all these things that you know like I'm going to get married or I'm going to have a kid or you know whatever
yeah, yeah.
the case may be.
From start to finish
time
start
that
to finish
I'm going
to
have
yeah,
and,
have
a kid.
So you know
it's going to be a very special
it's
kid.
Like it's almost like teachers in a way as far as
yeah.
like you know timing everything out to
yeah
yeah but
it's
yeah.
nice to be I mean the schedule is nice in that way you know it's
yeah yeah
yeah.
What were you That's doing great. Before? I know you said this is your first anime. Like, how did you kind of get started in the?
Yeah, well,
in the
where are you from?
I'm from North Carolina, Chapel Hill.
So
congrats.
How did you get from North? Congrats.
I don't know.
So why don't you tell us about your move from North Carolina to? Where
well,
you
I went
are
to
now.
School at American University in Washington D.C.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, I actually studied audio technology, believe it or not, even though I couldn't help you with your microphones just a minute ago. Because I thought I was going to record bands or something. I don't know. And
everybody has a dream.
Yeah, man. Yeah. And then you quickly realize you can't make any money doing that. So I actually got an internship out of college with the TV Academy. I was looking at that thing on your wall.
Oh.
Yeah. Was that like the student?
No,
what is that?
No, that actually.
Oh, no, that's a real Emmy.
Yeah.
Sorry, that's a real Emmy.
yep, JJ's got a real Emmy.
That's the nomination certificate
nice.
for another thing that I worked on. So.
Wow, should be interviewing you. So
we've interviewed him 9 times already.
Well,
shut up about it.
The TV Academy has like an internship. I don't know if they still do it or not.
I'm sure they
the
do.
Internship, like,
yeah.
and they have different categories. And so I got the one. Somehow, I got the one in the sound category. And they placed me in an internship at a sound post-production house. So I moved out here. I mean, it was just for the summer, and then that place hired me. And then, like, hired me as, like, a PA, and then after about a year there, I realized I didn't want to do it. Every time I would step
yeah.
on the mix stage, like, my ears would bleed. Like, have you been on some mixes? Like, it's so loud. I don't
yeah.
know how those guys
yeah.
do that. They're, I mean, I don't know how they still can hear.
Yeah.
And I... So then I quit there and I took some Avid classes and then it's so God I'm trying to remember I had met somebody while I was there I ended up being I just got a call one day that they're they were the the movie they were working on, the PA like broke his leg and they needed someone to fill in.
That's a good gig.
Wow. Yeah, yeah. And so
not dangerous at all.
a little movie called Anna and the King.
That was nice.
Yeah.
Is that based on The King and I?
Yes.
Yep.
I remember that.
Who was
Chow Yun-fat?
Yep, that's it. That's who it was.
It's the only the only version of that where the king is actually played by an Asian guy.
Oh. Yeah. Yul Brynner, definitely. Yeah, not Asian.
So that was that was weird to see like a big massive production like that. But I think I was there for like the summer, and then I somehow weaseled my way. I can't remember how it happened. There's this show called G versus E, which they then changed the name to Good versus Evil, which then got canceled. Somehow I knew somebody who got me an interview over there, and it was just one of these shows that was like, it was sort of a mess. So they were having trouble keeping people. So I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing. I'll take the job. That was my first job. Like I got a job as like an assistant editor, and I didn't really know what I was doing.
Right.
Like the first day How big of a nightmare was that for you? Well, they sent me to like, oh, we've done some green screen shots. Can you go over to the post house and supervise them, compositing them? Because this is before they would
supervise.
And I was just like, okay. And then like I came back and I realized like the backgrounds in the car were going the wrong way.
I bet you got a stern talking to.
Yeah. None. But
that's why it got canceled.
That show was crazy because like everybody, like there was nobody. There was like in the whole post production department, there was nobody over like 28 years old or whatever. So like it was all like kids running the show. It was really, it was cool. It was fun. That's where I actually met my friend who eventually became associate producer on Family Guy. And
years and years later.
So
it's funny the relationships that you get. Like you work with just one AP and they're like, oh, like just come on with this next thing. It's not a big deal. Yeah.
So
I love that your friend was an assistant, and then the show got canceled, and then when it came back, she's like, "I want to be a producer."
Well, no,
and they were like, okay.
No, in between then, actually, she had become like a post supervisor on a different show, like in the downtime.
She worked her way up there.
She didn't just jump. So I did that, and then I bounced around a couple crappy sci-fi shows that nobody remembers, and then I actually. It's hard to remember all this.
Yeah. It's true.
This is your life.
Then I actually, at some point, I burned out. And my friend had an internet company that went under. And I was kind of like whatever show I was on ended. And I was just like, I don't know if I want to do this anymore. And we took off to, we both said, let's go backpacking in Asia for 2 months.
Sweet.
So
let's go find ourselves.
Yeah. I did that, which was awesome. I highly recommend it.
Sweet.
When I came back, I ended up in reality TV for a little while, which I don't recommend.
Yeah,
I concur. Yeah.
So I actually had a couple years of bouncing around doing that, and then like I would like when the show would end, I would like go travel for a while, kind of doing that kind of thing, you know.
Okay.
And then you know this Family Guy opportunity came up, and. Suddenly, I had a steady job for 9 years.
Yeah.
That's a sweet deal.
Not a lot of people can say that.
Nine years is a long time.
Star Trek,
on one.
If you're on Star Trek, you could say that.
Sesame Street.
Yeah. Not a lot of...
After this gig, if you had your choice, would you do animated or go back to live action?
I like animated. I think I would... You know, if I have the choice, I would stay in animated. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, what is the... like around The Office this season, because Cosmos came out. Like, was there like a whole lot? Like, was there a lot of overlap at all? Like, did you guys get to see any of that from your side?
No, I mean, there's a few people I think from one of his shows, you know, that ended up on working on Cosmos and stuff like that. That always happens. But no, I didn't. I saw it on TV when you guys saw it.
Gotcha.
I paid for my ticket to see Ted in the movie theater.
Oh, no. It was a great movie. I liked it.
Isn't it funny to get that people be like, oh, can you just get me some DVDs? Don't they just give you Family Guy DVDs free to give out to all your friends? No.
It doesn't work like that.
Yeah.
Not anymore, at least.
So overall, like your experience has been pretty positive.
Yeah.
On the show.
Yeah.
Which is great.
Yeah.
It's great. We always like to kind of give our listeners some kind of advice about like getting into the industry or some kind of Like, what would you give somebody that just moved here that wants to get to do exactly what you're
young
doing?
Young Eric Brown just moved from North Carolina. What would you tell him?
Well, I don't. I mean, I don't think
don't
a,
do it.
I don't think there's a whole lot of people that move here and go like, I want to be an animation editor. Like, they probably don't even know what that is.
Right.
Like, I would say if they, I mean, you know, there's so much right place, right time in it, but it's all about getting to know people. And I mean, it's totally different. Say if you're an artist that wants to be in animation, you just got to work on your craft. And they, I think they actually give those guys tests when they want to work there. They like give them a scene and have them board it and come back. And they kind of look at that.
That's cool.
You know,
well, a lot of those people I know have art backgrounds. Like, I know Seth went to RISD, which is the Rhode Island School of Design.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, it seems like you have to really have an artistic eye if you're,
yeah.
But
yeah.
Then what's the, but like, it seems like if the show's being animated in Korea,
well,
you got to move to Korea if you want to work in animation.
Well, all the boards, like all the storyboard artists are here. Like, my wife is a storyboard artist on the show, and so all the key art is done here, and they're basically following what the board artist did.
Got it.
And filling in the blanks.
So for like the key animation points, those are what they do, right?
Yeah, that's what they do here.
Hand up, hand down, and then they fill in the motion.
And
for
the more complex stuff, they'll draw it out more here. Like, if it's something really complicated, you know.
Yeah.
No, nobody's like, nobody should come out here saying, I want to work at an animation studio in Korea.
Move to LA to work in an animation studio.
It's generally the artists are, it's board artists, and then like board artists can work their way, can become like an assistant director, and then can be, you know, a lot of, you know, people that are directors there like started as board artists there.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
It's it's a different trajectory.
Yeah, it's not like live action. Like, you can't. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's generally that's generally like the path you would go.
Yeah. Wow, that's interesting.
So the directors, a lot of them have that artistic.
Oh yeah, they all. I mean, they're all border. I mean, they.
Okay.
I couldn't imagine like not being able to draw, and directing an animated episode.
Yeah,
I'm sure it happens actually, but I've not at Family Guy.
Does your wife have any ambitions of being a director?
Well, we're both right. I mean, we had a baby a year ago.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
She's a cutie.
Thank you. Yeah. We're both like just coming out of the fog of like the first year parenthood. So like all you're trying to do is just get through, you know, keep your head above water that first year. So who knows?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Oh, it makes sense.
Did you meet your wife at Family Guy?
Yeah, I did. Actually, I didn't. We both worked there a year before I met her. And it sounds cheesy, but I actually met her like after work. You know, a bunch of people from work went to a bar down the street.
Mm-hmm.
But that's where I met her. I knew. I mean, I knew.
Didn't know that she worked in the office.
Yeah, I had seen her in the hallway. Well, because I don't know if you know this, but animation artists are 99% guys.
Mm.
So whenever there's a cute girl walking down the hall, she kind of stands out.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Makes sense. Yeah. Well, in post in general.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's just kind of how it is.
So, what would be your tip for people if a guy meets a hot woman at the office and he's like, "I want to have a kid with that woman"?
I would say.
Our listeners want
to go to the bar after work.
Okay. So always go for drinks.
Yes, yes.
It's a pretty good rule of thumb. That's where the magic happens.
Yeah, yeah.
That's where it starts.
For the last drink.
True.
That's when the magic happens.
True.
And
we have the one, I mean, we joke that we have the Family Guy baby. Because I think we're the only people that like met on the show, you know, still working on the show, got married and had a baby.
That's kind of
awesome. A lot of people have had kids.
That's really awesome.
Years. Yeah. So we joke.
Only what's your kid's name? Is it like
Parker?
Okay, it's a girl named Parker. So no one on the show is named Parker.
No.
Because then it would be a Family Guy.
Yeah,
baby.
True.
We showed Seth a picture of her at the Christmas party and said, "This is your fault." And he said, "I'm sorry."
Oh, that's great.
Speaking of sorry,
boy.
I put together a really shitty game
okay.
every time we get together where I grab sound bites from some of my favorite movies. And
some of his favorite movies are not our favorite movies.
Yeah, right.
This is where the age gap becomes more apparent,
right.
Where I'm like, you guys don't know sound bites from Jurassic Park? And, you know, apparently that's too much to ask for. I don't know what type of movies you watch, but... I guess I say this every time. These are easy this week.
All right.
She does say that. Every time. I think I'm probably definitely the oldest guy in the room, so we'll see.
We'll see. You'd be surprised. Maybe you're the oldest, but maybe you're not the most culturally retarded.
These are from Charlie Chaplin movies.
I can't hear anything.
It's a piano.
Okay. Are you going to preface it, this game? What is this game going to be?
So this is the soundbite game. I'm going to be playing a soundbite from a movie, and then you will buzz in by saying your name out loud, and whoever I hear first, I'll pick on. And then you get to, then you'll say it, and you try and get the most points. Try and not get the least amount of points.
That makes sense.
Because if you do, you have to smell my ear.
Smell your ear. That's weird.
I don't know. I'm stealing that from a different podcast that I heard. That's why. Whenever they had trivia, the losers had to smell the guy that did the trivia.
And if he stumps us, he gets one. So he gets the play.
Wait,
as
what
well.
If you lose?
I don't know.
You
honestly,
can't lose,
like,
really.
It's never happened.
Yeah, you can't lose, right?
We haven't distributed like a prize, like a schedule for the prizes.
We should have a board of points.
We should have like a tally somewhere on here where it's like, this is how much smarter Nadav is than everyone else, and this is how much dumber everyone else is than Nadav.
Right.
I'd like that board.
Oh, I'm sure you
Tangible
would.
Tangible evidence.
Because you're the one on top.
Does this one have a theme? Because
it doesn't. Last time our theme was Adam Sandler singing in movies.
Oh, God.
So it was just him different singing songs in movies.
Billy Madison, Happy Gilmore.
Yeah,
that's where
we definitely covered those two. There was Wedding Bulletproof. Singer. Do you remember Bulletproof?
Oh, God. Wedding Singer.
Wedding Singer.
But after Happy Gilmore, they're just... It's all downhill,
that's
right?
That's true, Yeah. There's definitely a golden
age. We talked about that.
Okay, so this is the first... Okay, and all these are going to come up on my screen, so you guys cannot...
Oh, we can't look at your screen.
How many are there? Five?
There are five today.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
There are
five.
Okay, here we go.
And you know what? These are relatively modern movies. These are ones...
So they're going to be easy?
Yeah.
Yes, these are very easy. I will reiterate, these are very easy.
Okay.
All right, hold on. All right, don't listen, don't look.
I need to
listen. It's hard not to look when the screen's like right now.
All right, here we go.
And starts to drink your milkshake.
Oh, I say my name, Eric.
Yes, Eric.
There will be blood.
Yep.
Milkshake. Oh.
Ding, 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 ding.
Wow.
I drink it up.
First,
you're the first guest to get.
Holy shit.
Didn't Monica win something?
Oh, yeah, she did.
Second guest.
That was so quick.
Yeah, that was quick.
Yeah.
Guys, I
only saw that movie once. It's too long, you know?
It is long.
It's too long. Yeah, I like Pulp Fiction.
So you only saw it once and you didn't even like it and you still got the sound
that, but
guys, Eric is embarrassing you guys.
It was one question.
That's the most
and
popular.
You saw it once.
All I heard was the word milkshake and I knew it.
You'd be surprised how many of these sound bites that they have not gotten. They didn't get The Matrix. They didn't get Jurassic Park.
The one for Matrix was... No, not like this. That was all it was.
It's the most memorable line from The Matrix.
I don't think that's the blue pill. Yeah, that's the most memorable.
Look, guys, I'm not trying to give this shit away. This is a game. This isn't like this. I'm not like dangling.
I understand. But it's not the most memorable line of The Matrix.
For me, it was. And I'm putting these games together. So you guys just got to up your game. Just watch more movies.
Okay. All right, go ahead. Number two.
This one's easy, guys.
I am a golden god.
JJ, almost famous.
Who said it?
I jumped in. Sorry.
Yeah, now who gets that?
I said my name, and then I said almost famous.
He also said his name.
I knew it in my head.
I don't know. I didn't hear Eric say his name.
I said Eric almost famous.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Oh, you did?
Yeah.
But did you hear me say JJ?
I heard JJ say first, but I heard him say almost famous.
That's one of my favorites. I love that movie.
That's a great movie.
I'll tell you what. It's your game.
Okay, so as the judge, I judge that I'm going to King Solomon this decision and cut this point in half.
All right.
You get half a point, and you get half a point. Right, so JJ has half a point.
Okay.
Eric has 1.5 points.
Just go on to the next one.
And Andrew, as usual, has zero. Andrew, what do you want to be when you grow up?
Just like you.
You want to make movies? Cool, here's a movie. All right.
Oh, is that filler?
Okay, when I introduce you, I'm going to say, this is a friend of mine.
JJ.
Eric,
I know what it is. Yeah, JJ?
Go.
Donnie Brasco.
Yeah.
That's a good one, too.
That's a really good bite.
That's a good movie.
Let's hear this bite all the way through.
Okay, when I introduce you, I'm going to say, this is a friend of mine. That means you're connected again. Now, if I said instead, this is a friend of ours, that would mean you were made, guy. A capiche?
Yeah, friend of mine, friend of ours, What do I call you, a friend of ours?
Or? Keep your fucking mouth shut about me.
I was just talking about that movie yesterday. That's really weird.
It's a good movie.
My wife's never seen it. I was asking her if she'd seen it.
You don't even realize how many amazing lines come from Donnie Brasco.
Yeah.
Great
movie.
Like the scene where Al Pacino's smoking in the car and he wants to keep all the windows up.
I don't remember.
Well, that was yes, for sure, guys. Just my childhood.
Nadav remembers different things than everyone.
Guys, I have something to say. This one's easy. This is an easy one. Super easy.
Real Russia. This is the deepest inside of the real Russian life.
Andrew, a gay Russian sex club.
Yeah, I know you got secrets. Everybody got secrets.
All right, guys, this is easy.
Didn't know you like to get wet, though.
Eric, Training Day.
Yeah.
Oh, buddy. Yeah. That was a good one, too.
Yeah. Guys, I couldn't remember the title. I was like, I know it. It's Denzel. Yeah.
I didn't know you get wet.
Yeah.
PCP. Angel Dust.
Eric, I think you and I are best friends now. You know all of the movies that I like. Not like these guys are supposedly my friends.
I also knew that movie as well.
Yeah, well,
but he was quick. He's quick.
You're not.
He's nimbly bimbly.
You can't access that information quickly enough. Sorry,
my
dude.
Name.
What is it? JJ.
Okay.
This last one.
Okay.
Is hard. Right. I'm just kidding, guys. It's easy. There's a lot of scoring. There's soundtrack beforehand, so maybe that'll give stuff away.
Get off my plane.
Andrew, Air Force One.
Oh, yeah.
Congratulations, Andrew.
You got one.
Last place.
Shut up. I got one.
All right.
You're at zero.
So now let's tally up the points. Sure, I'm at zero, but I'm also playing against three people.
Just saying.
Eric has one.
He has two and a half.
Two and a half, yeah.
Yeah, two and a half.
And I have one and a half.
Yeah. So Eric has... No, I'm saying Eric has W-O-N. Eric has won.
Yes.
He has won the game.
Yes, that is correct.
He has 2.5 points.
Yes. That's correct.
Andrew has 1.5 points.
No, he only has one.
I have one.
Andrew... Oh.
That's JJ. I'm
Holy
Andrew.
Shit.
Hello.
I got some wires crossed, guys. I'm on the 20th hour of being awake. Andrew has one. JJ has 1.5.
Yep.
So, Andrew, here's my ear.
I'm not going to smell your
ear. Go ahead and take a whiff. It's not even that sweaty. All right, we'll do this later. With that, we've concluded another installment of Nadav's soundbite from his childhood game.
Wait, when we do, like at the end of the year, can we get all the winners in here and then we do like
bonus
a
round?
That would be sweet.
It'll be impossible
Jeopardy.
To schedule, but who cares?
Yeah, nose go scheduling.
They forfeit if they don't show up.
Yeah.
Yeah, there we go.
And like, if you forfeit, you have to smell my ear. I don't know why I keep going back to this.
What is with
you
that?
You got to figure out
and
something.
Also
you know, we should
thing?
Have a prize. We should find some kind of prize to give to our
I like
members.
This. We have more rewards and less.
How about that thing?
Ooh, the cow skull?
It's so fair for Eric. You know, the next
you
know time what? Someone wins, we should give them
just
something.
Just yank it off the wall. Here you go, buddy.
Would you like the cow skull?
No, actually
it's all yours, man.
No.
It's yours.
You should see how wide and watery JJ's eyes are getting now. Just like, would you like to? Please don't take
my
cow
skull.
It's fine. You won. You won. It's
You've
cool.
Got a lot of things in here could be a prize. An autograph, Jim Gaffigan.
That's true.
Yep. The treadmill.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, the treadmill.
If you can get it out of here,
it's yours. Yeah. Yeah, we'll figure something out. We got to figure something out.
If yeah.
You know.
Eric, your prize is in the mail. All
right.
And I think that...
Yeah, I think that does it for us today. Thank you for
this
being
here. This podcast is done.
Eric, thank you so much for coming. We appreciate you telling us everything that you probably shouldn't have told us about. You probably went against a lot of NDAs that you've signed.
No. Luckily, good. No one will ever hear
I don't
hear
think
this.
I said anything that hasn't aired.
Good. Perfect. Hopefully, no one sues you over anything that you've said, and you'll be able to hear any of this beforehand. So you could nix this whole entire thing if you want.
All right.
Awesome. Stay tuned for more podcasts, and go to earlycalltime.com if you want to.
Yep.
Have Thanks. A good one.
Cool.
And that's a wrap. Didn't get your fill at Craft Services and you want more?
Check out earlycalltime.com for more podcasts and information pertaining to the ever-growing entertainment industry. And remember to tell your friends about us via Facebook and Twitter. Thanks for listening.